Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. I'd like to welcome you for calling in, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. And for those who will download this program later, I welcome you as well. Today we're going on part three of our series of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We already did the series on the Father. Last week we did the series of the Son. And today we're talking about the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is something we need in our spiritual walk with God. We cannot do anything without it. If we reject it, obviously we are rejecting God himself, for it is God's Spirit living within us. And how we had the God's Spirit living within us happened as soon as Christ Jesus returned to sit with the Father on the right side of his throne. Turn with me now to Acts, the first chapter, and we'll read the 13th verse. Oh, I am sorry. I mean, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Remember, in this part, we read, as we begin to read, that before Jesus returned to the Father in heaven, he told his disciples to return to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And here's where we begin, on chapter 2. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. They then appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to the rest, each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under the heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own tongue, and they were astounded and in amazement and asked, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them own native tongue? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Sorry about that. Perga and Pamaya, Egypt, and the district of Libya near Cyrene, as well as all travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in their own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered, and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, scoffing, they have to have too much new wine. You see right there, before the disciples and the followers of Jesus, what they never had when they walked with the Master was the Holy Spirit living within them. And probably at the time when Jesus told them, he would give them a comforter, a spirit to lead them. They probably had no idea what this was going to be. They may have thought the Holy Spirit would be with them as they were with the children of Israel, as they had to follow the Spirit in a cloud-like thing in the sky when they were out of Egypt and going through the desert or the wilderness. They probably never imagined that God's Holy Spirit would come up with them like a big rush, and it sounded like a big wind coming upon them. And they probably never felt within them before in their life. Obviously, they never did. And right there, the Spirit of God was within them. They were baptized in the fire of God. And right away, they began speaking in angelic tongues. They began speaking in tongues of different nations. And right there, we see a change within the followers of Jesus. Before, they were hiding from the inhabitants of Jerusalem for fear, if seen, they would be arrested and killed. Now, they were standing out in front of the crowd, bold, brave, not caring what people thought of them, as the Holy Spirit was upon them. They were laughing and speaking in other tongues, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit is, my friend. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads us in our worship of Lord Jesus. It's how we sing. It's how we praise Him in church. How we react. Basically, our makeup now. When we have the Holy Spirit living within us, it is the Holy Spirit who chastises you and I when we do things wrong. I'm not saying that, oh, you just can't help it but still sin after you have the Holy Spirit within you. Actually, you do not have to sin when you have the Holy Spirit living within you. What you are now is a growing Christian. And each day you are growing. You are not returning to the old sins that you used to do. However, you are now growing. You may make mistakes about how you may deal with people in certain ways that you may be chastised later by the Holy Spirit saying, what you should have done is tell them about this, talk about them about this, or you should have had time to talk to them when they were asking for you to pray for them or tell them about Jesus, but you were so consumed with your own time, you didn't do it. And that's when you feel the Holy Spirit grieving upon you about, you should do this. Because the Holy Spirit within you is now telling your soul what to do, and your soul telling your body what to do about the way you are living your life for Christ Jesus. No more are you living your life for yourself, for your selfish needs. Because when you live your life for your own selfish needs, you tend to cut off other people. You don't care about what other people think. You don't care about people in general. You're caring about your own wants, your own needs, your own selfish attitude. And that's why you've separated yourself from God. I don't have to go into everything that man has done in their life to separate themselves from God, because I do believe you all know what it is. Changed person in Christ Jesus, you are totally changed. And if people watch you, they'll know that, hey, weren't you the one that used to be that person right there. What's the change in you? If you have no change in your life, obviously the Holy Spirit is not living within you. If you're still doing the same things that you once did, the whole point with the Holy Spirit living within you, you are now a changed person in Christ. You are not doing the same old things you did before. You are now doing new things that are pleasing to your Lord, your God, because the Holy Spirit has cleaned you up. You are now living day and day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not keeping it to yourself, or you're not acting like you're ashamed of the Holy Spirit because what will people think about you? Who cares what the world thinks? Only care about what your Heavenly Father thinks. Because it's your Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, that'll get you into heaven. Some other person who does not know who Jesus Christ is will not get you into heaven. You have to be the one that teaches them about Christ Jesus. You cannot let old friends tell you what is right. If your old friend is not saved and they're influencing you to turn away from Christ Jesus, how strong is your faith if you allow them to talk you into turning away from Christ Jesus? Before, you may have been bold and say, I'm out there, I'm going to go out there and tell the world about Jesus. But this one's friend saying, whatever for? Live like me. Live for the world. Don't follow Jesus. Stay away from your Christian family. Don't be within Christian church. Talk to me and let's text together online. Don't go to church at all. Listen to what I'm doing. Follow the world. And you do it? The fact of it is, where was your walk in the first place? Can you come home? I hope so. If your heart hasn't hardened already, I would tell you to rebuke Satan yet again and rebuke that friend. If you are a true friend to that person, bring them to Christ. But if you're afraid about losing their friendship because you've come to Christ, and that friendship does turn sour, then that person was never a true friend of you anyway. If they're willing to dump you as a friend because you found Christ, find new friends. Find friends who walk with Christ and walk with them. Because if you're going to be dragged down by these people who do not know Christ, then don't associate with those people who are going to drag you down in the same miry clay that you once were in. Stay with the people who will bring you up, who will bring you Christ Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, to help you out, to help you know what to say to people out there who don't know Christ. If they reject Christ, so be it. If you lose friendships, so be it. Let them be a part of the world. You be a part of the family of God and associate with people who are a part of the family of God, because if someone is truly with the family of God, they're not going to lead you astray. They're not going to talk you into doing things of the world that's going to be displeasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, they're going to lead you to grow in Christ. That's why you pray together, because you have the same Holy Spirit living within you. With that Holy Spirit living within you, you are one with the Father in heaven. And together, you are praying together. And together, the things that come out of your mouth is through the Holy Spirit, because you're getting stronger in that Spirit as you are praying together. And right there, you are praying together. You go stronger together. And with that strength, no devil can break you up, because right there, You are strong in the Spirit. You have the armor of God with you because the Holy Spirit is there helping you out and helping you pray and helping you grow with Christ Jesus. Let us look at the example of the Apostle Peter when during the day of Pentecost when he received the Holy Spirit, something he never would have tried before because he was hiding. He was afraid still. And probably he still had doubts in his mind about, will I betray my master again? But the answer is right here that the answer would be no, he would never deny Christ again. And he did this speech at Pentecost. When Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people opposed, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." You see right there, Peter used a little humor there. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They won't be drunk yet. Of course, they weren't planning on getting drunk, but we all know what he meant. It was a joke. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servant and my handmaid, I will pour out a portion of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will work wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set of plain and for knowledge of God, you killed using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of them, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him by the right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brother, one can conveniently say about you, the patriarch David, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. He was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne. He foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah that neither he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from Father and poured forth, as you both see and hear. For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus who you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you, to your children, and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many others, arguments, and exhorted them, "Save yourselves from this corruption generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 persons were added that day. And you see, the 3,000 were added that day. Amazing, wasn't it? God has kept his promise to the book of Joel. You who are baptized and felt his Spirit come into your life, understand that God is pouring his Spirit out to the world. So walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Walk in his way. Feel his direction. Read your scripture, because when you read your scriptures, the Holy Spirit's telling you about what it is about. The Holy Spirit is guiding you to tell others. The Holy Spirit is giving you gifts. He's giving you the gifts to teach, to preach, to prophesy, to have vision, to heal. All the gifts God has given to you. In the Old Testament, God gave these gifts to only his prophets. And it was his prophets that had these gifts who could prophesy. David, even though he was an earthly king and God's king upon the earth, too, was a prophet. His predecessor, Saul, could have been a prophet, but he let his heart get hardened over the time he was king over God's people and did not have the heart of God as David did. David was a prophet king. True, in his life he made mistakes, but unlike Saul, David knew how to repent now with God's Spirit upon us. Not just the prophets of God have the Holy Spirit within him. Believers who have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ were baptized by his fire, by the Spirit, and baptized by the water, and felt the Spirit within him. And the Lord God has given you gifts to teach, preach, prophesy, speak in tongues. And that's the gift he has given us. The Heavenly Father, whenever you want to talk to the Heavenly Father, because we have it within us and we can talk to him at any time. So, my friend, if you are saved and are feeling depression with coming within your life, pray to the Lord your God to lift this up. Talk to a fellow Christian and pray together to remove this darkness that is happening within your life right now, to remove it from you so you can feel the joy of God. We know the enemy is out there, and we know the enemy is trying to steal the love that you have for God by trying to make you feel a depression within your life. But if we pray together, remember, when we pray together, sing together, God's praises together, you'll feel the Holy Spirit coming within your life. Only in a dead church, if you go to a dead church, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ would not be concerned about you. They'll let you go on with your depression and not sit by you and pray for you. Because a dead church does not care how you feel. They'll tell others about how you're feeling. Even when you start getting so depressed, you feel like you can never come out of it. And you're in that big despair in your life. They would ignore you and treat you like you were crazy and talk about you. But a true body in Christ, a true believer in Christ, would not do that. They would see you, a fellow brother, a fellow sister, falling in despair. And like you're drowning in water, they would jump in and help you get you back to the boat and help you not feel like despair anymore. So don't feel ashamed when a brother or sister in Christ comes to you in church, sits down beside you in church, and prays over you in church when you are feeling this way, or comes to you at your home and wants to pray for you, and wants to help you get out of this deep feeling that you have because they know that Satan is trying to drag you down, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring you back up. Let your brother and sister pray over you. Let them help you get over this feeling, and let them help you rebuke the devil, and let them help you come back and once were happy and feeling the Lord Jesus Christ's love within your heart. Because the fact of it is, Jesus told you and I to pray for one another. And if we're praying for one another, we're doing exactly what Christ wants us to do. We are behaving like brothers and sisters in Christ by praying for each other when we are down, to bring each other up for the enemy, to bring us back to where we once were feeling with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it wasn't him who was pulling away. It was Satan trying to steal God's love from you by trying to get you to feel this way. Because he's trying to get your heart to be hardened so you'd be depressed. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants you not to be depressed. And you want a live church to pray over you, to bring you back into the fold with Christ Jesus, so you won't fall away from him, so you feel the happiness that you felt, and that the evilness of depression will be away from you forever. Christ Jesus wants you to be happy. He wants you to be walking with him, and that's this depression will never end. Oh, the depression will end. Come to Jesus now and pray over it. Ask a fellow brother or sister in Christ to pray over you. So together you will pray for this depression to go away and walk freely and happily with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is leading you and I to do for each other, to be alive people in Christ, to help one another when we are down, to help one another get through the day, so we will see and feel the Lord Jesus Christ within us. For if he is with us, who is against us? Because the enemy may try to knock us down, but together, we are a strong fort together, I believe in the strong spark that we are together. We rebuke the enemy who is trying to make you feel depressed and bad about things and trying to drag you down. In the name of Jesus Christ, we tell Satan to remove himself from your life and allow the Holy Spirit to re-enter your life and feel God's presence. Feel the Holy Spirit enter you right now, because he's never left you. He is there. Embrace the Holy Spirit, the Lord your God, and be free and happy as you once were, and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for delivering you from this darkness that Satan has tried to bring upon you and try to drag you down. The Holy Spirit is living within you. The Lord that he's living within you. Let him teach you. Go and listen to him, and let him teach you more about the Lord our God. Let him teach you more about the way you live for the Lord your God. Let him teach you about the gifts he wants to give you and how you can grow further with the Lord your God. Let him teach you more about God's way, God's will, and live according to the way your Heavenly Father wants you to live. Live for him. Live for him in peace. Live for him on a daily basis. Let him teach you what to say to other people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The words will come. Let him teach you what to say to people in general who are out there, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, how to help them out when their time of need is right before you. Let him teach you how to talk to them and counsel them, so they may grow further in the Lord Jesus Christ, so they may not fall from grace through the lies the devil puts into their heads. Let them feel the presence, and let them, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, teach you to know what to say, to know what to do, and know how to be with your Heavenly Father. This, my friend, is what the Holy Spirit does for you and I. He leads us. He sanctifies us. He teaches us. He molds us to be like Christ Jesus upon the earth, to show love the way Christ Jesus did when he walked upon the earth, and to help our brothers and sisters out as Christ Jesus did when he walked upon the earth. Be like our Heavenly Father. Be like our Lord Jesus Christ there, and make fishers of men. Help one another when we need each other's help. Be like Christ Jesus. And that, my friend, is the Holy Trinity of God, because God is a Father. He is the Son. And he is the Holy Spirit. And his Spirit is right here sanctifying us to be more like him. Amen, my friends. Amen to that, my friends. And amen to that, my friends. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for molding us. Praise him for becoming a man. Praise him being the one who thought we were worth saving, so we too can live right now at the Father's table. Amen to that, my friends. Amen. Let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, sanctify all of us and help us walk in your way, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue knowing your way and your will. Let us continue growing in your faith. Let us accept your gifts. Let us grow in your gifts, Lord, that you want to give us. And let us grow, Lord Jesus Christ, in you, Lord Jesus. And let us become a better church, a strong body, strong will that will go out there and make people, and will bring people in. Let us be fishers of men as we bring in more people for you, more souls, more people will know who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever and ever. Amen and amen. My friends, this ends our series of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll go on to another lesson the next time that I come on the air. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all. May you feel His presence and abundance upon you. May His Holy Spirit fill you with joy, and may you walk in the name of Jesus Christ forevermore. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you, everyone. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.